just want to keep you on your toes. We're into a new series this morning. Speaking of wise, Jesus says these words. We're in Matthew chapter 7. He says this. He says, "Do not judge so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment that you make, you will be judged. And the measure you give will be the measure that you get. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye." And this relates, "Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them underfoot and turn and maul you." That's a lot to chew on, isn't it, for an overcast morning? We have two questions for you, and we'll put the whole passage up on the screen in just a moment, but these are the two questions. What are the things Jesus does not want us to do? And what are the things Jesus does want us to do? Just in this brief paragraph of teaching. What are the things Jesus does not want us to do? What are the things that he does want us to do? So those two questions. Look at the whole passage. I think you can still read it. And talk to the person next to you. Answer those questions. I want to hear the buzz, so let's hear the talking. You have 60 seconds. So what'd you come up with? Talk to me on the patio afterwards. You can tell me what you came up with. We're starting a new series this morning, and we're calling it Wise, and it's taking us through Matthew chapter 7, the final portion of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where we've been since the beginning of February. And we're going to do this in just 4 weeks. Jesus is wrapping things up. We're calling it Wise because that is where the chapter takes us. Actually, it takes us to the story of two men at the end of the chapter, one who hears the words of Jesus and follows them, and then another who hears but does not follow them. As Jesus puts it, the wise one who builds his house, that is his life, on the solid rock of truth, and then the foolish one who builds on the sandy beach of his own insight. And then Hurricane Irma comes along and only one house is left. So the question of the video and the question of the chapter and the question of actually the entire Sermon on the Mount is, which man, as it were, are you? And this morning Jesus is saying, you know, if you want to be the wise man, well, for starters, do not judge. Do not judge. And then he gives a reason. He says, for with the judgment that you make, you will be judged. And then he says it again for emphasis. This is very typical in the ancient world. You say something twice, but in a different way. He says, the measure that you give will be the measure that you get back. That's a first century way of saying what goes around comes around. And if it's judgment that is going around, if you're the one who's sending it around, the one who will then bring it back around to you will be God himself. Do not judge. Jesus is really compelled to say this at this point in the Sermon on the Mount because we've just been through two chapters and we've really taken our time making our way through them as a congregation. Chapters 5 and 6 of Matthew, full of lifestyle standards that are set pretty high for the people of God. And of course, our tendency by this time in such a sermon is to get the spotlight off of ourselves, off of our own lives, focus on somebody else's life, highlight their problems so we don't have to face our own. But what is Jesus saying exactly when he says, don't judge? He's not saying, turn off your mind. He's not saying, suspend your critical powers. He's not saying, turn a blind eye. He's not saying, stop discerning between truth and error, between good and evil. He cannot be saying that because at the end of the passage, you heard it, He talks about not judging, but then he asks us to decide who's a dog and who's a pig. And later, who is a false prophet. That'll be 2 weeks from today. Jesus wants his followers, he wants his church, that would be you, to be discerning, but here he forbids his church to be damning. We are not a self-appointed divine court. We can evaluate, we can condemn behaviors that we see, but not the people exhibiting the behaviors. It's not ours to take the place of God, to pose as experts on a person's heart, mind, inner character, and begin making a judgment about that. And they're standing with God. And if you do that, well, just in the words of the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans, second chapter, he says this, "Therefore, you have no excuse, whoever you are, when you judge others. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself because you, the judge, are doing the very same things." You start pointing the finger. You know that old saying, you have one finger pointing at someone else, and there are three pointing back at you. And now Jesus presses the point and exposes the irony of our judging others with two questions. First question, this is verse 3, it's on the screen. He asks us, why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye but do not notice the log in your own? Maybe the version you're used to talks about splinters and planks, specks and logs, doesn't matter. Jesus knows how we operate. He knows that things are never as bad as we think they are about the other people, and they're never as good as we think we are about ourselves. We have this problem called a self-favoring bias. We downplay our own faults and we overplay our neighbor's faults. We're hard on other people, but we're easy on ourselves. We have 20/20 vision with the person next to us, but we're blind as a bat when it comes to the person inside of us. You know, I like to talk about the Sermon on the Mount like a set of contact lenses for a person with bad spiritual eyesight. When I was in first grade, my teacher, Mrs. McVean, saw that I was squinting to try to see what she was writing on the board at the front of the room. And teachers are alerted to those kinds of things. She let my parents know, and so my parents took me to the eye doctor, and sure enough, I needed glasses. That's a lot of fun in first grade. You come to school, oh, who's the new kid? You know, everybody gives you a hard time. And when you get glasses that young, as your body then grows and matures, your eyes get worse and worse. So that by the time I was in high school, I mean, I had Coke bottles for lenses. It was pretty bad. And in my sophomore year, my mother said, you've got to get contact lenses. Let's take you to the optometrist and get you fitted for those. And so the first time putting those on, two things I'll never forget. First, how well I could see, just how sharp and how clear everything was. And the second thing, I was standing in front of the mirror and I was looking at myself without bulky frames in the way, and I had no memory of ever seeing my face and my eyes the way God made them without glasses in the way. And I was saying to myself, as I looked at myself in the mirror, I said, so this is what I look like. This is who I am. This morning, Jesus is saying to you as people, I offer you a whole body of teaching so you can see clearly. So you can see yourself clearly for who you really are, the beauty of your eyes, the beauty of who you are, but also you can see then the planks and the logs that are sticking out of those eyes. And this leads us then to Jesus' second question. Verse 4 on the screen, he says, how can you say to your neighbor, let me take the speck out of your eye while the log is in your own eye? How can you say that? Not only do we focus on our neighbors so we don't have to look at ourselves, we try to fix our neighbors. And Jesus says, you're a hypocrite. Use your 20/20 vision on yourself. I worked with a guy, and this was in a church many years ago. I worked with a guy who really annoyed me. Large staff like here at Glenkirk, and we were on the same level, two young guys. This guy was arrogant. He annoyed a lot of people. Speaking of arrogant, I was pretty arrogant myself. I prided myself in my ability to look into his life clearly, see all the specs, and decide what needed to be done. And I was so fed up with him after a while, I decided to sit him down and just lay it all out for him. Big favor. I knew, I had heard the old saying that really serves us well. Is it kind? Is it helpful? Is it necessary? That ought to edit about 80% of the things that come out of our mouths. But I hadn't learned that in my heart yet. So I sat him down and, you know, talked to him, and it was sort of a cross between a heart-to-heart talk and a drive-by shooting. It didn't go well. In fact, it made things worse. And then God began to do something in me just after I did that. This was quite an experience, and it went on for 2 months. I kid you not. It was a charismatic experience. I mean, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me very clearly. Here's what happened. Every time I noticed a speck in this guy's life and it started to bother me, immediately God brought to my attention an example of the very same behavior in my own life, that I'd done the very same thing. He just brought that to my mind. And then these words, "You've done the same thing yourself. You've done the same thing yourself." And after about 2 months, I finally said, "Okay, I get the point." Jesus' point this morning is not to mind your own business. It's not to tend to your own knitting. The point is to look in the mirror first and deal with your garbage, your own stuff. Be broken in spirit. Be humbled before you take your insights elsewhere. Get into the practice, get into the habit of taking personal inventory. Then Jesus says, you will see clearly in all that that means to actually help another take the speck out of his or her eye. Jesus does want us to be speaking the truth in love to each other, to hold each other up, to help each other out with specks and splinters, logs and planks, but only in the spirit of humility, as brothers and sisters, as pilgrims on the way, aware of our own faults. If we are not humbly, lovingly confronting each other, if we're not engaging each other and asking each other questions, if our relationships here are only accommodating and accepting and everything's wonderful and nice and aren't you great, any accountability not a part of the conversation, then we're not being a church. We're just playing church. We're not being the church that Jesus Christ wants us to be. But it begins in our own life. Now, there is that final line or two at the end of the passage. It's going to be up on the screen. I don't have it right here. Let me just read it again. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them underfoot and turn and maul you. There are people who will not receive the truth that you have to offer, no matter how loving and how humble you are as the giver. And Jesus calls them dogs and swine. Not cute little puppies and piglets. There are people who are animal-like. And they have a disregard, a disrespect, a contempt of truth, and they're violent in the way they respond to truth. Jesus is referring to select people outside of the church, and yet such people wind up inside of the church. I mean, that's in the hearts of every one of us here. If we're offended, if we hear something we really don't want to hear. Jesus died at the hands of such religious people. And this morning, Jesus is saying, you know, do your own personal inventory, help each other getting the specks out of each other's eyes, but don't be naive. Be wise. Steer clear of the people who are going to bite you if you do that. Draw boundaries around yourself. Learn to identify those who are going to trample on the treasures that you offer. And there's a way to decide, to discern, to make a proper judgment about whether such a person is that kind of a person. And I call it the snort test. Anybody know what the snort test is? I mean, this, you can just, some of you have experienced the snort test and decided I'm never going to share that again with that person or something like that. It's whether you're saying something uncomfortable or whether you're just sharing about the great trip that you had or the nice thing you did or the picture that you painted, if what you get in response is a rolling of the eyes, that's a snort. And you know, don't put your treasures out in front of that person again. There's that old saying, just to sum up Jesus' teaching this morning, hate the sin and love the sinner. Have you heard that? That doesn't come from Jesus. I think Jesus would turn that on its head and change it a little bit. I think Jesus saying is love the sinner, hate your own sin. And pay attention to that. So this morning, in conclusion, three questions. And we have them on the screen for you. Whom have you judged? What is one log in your own eye you are aware of and are avoiding? And whom is Jesus telling you to ask for assistance with that log? None of these questions are about other people's problems. Let's just start with ourselves. Whom have you judged? What is one log in your own eye you're aware of and are avoiding? And whom is Jesus telling you to ask for assistance with the log? I want you to sit with these questions just for a moment. Take a look at them. And I want you to pick out the one that most stands out. And I want you to talk to God about it right now. So as the band comes up, I want you to sit with God and do business with God with the one of those three questions that has your name on it. And just talk to God and listen to God. Would you pray with me? And as you listen to Jesus speak to you, do whatever he says. These are the most important two questions you can ever ask yourself. What is Jesus saying to me right now in my life? And number two, what am I going to do about it? That's the adventure of Christianity. Lord Jesus, empower the people to take the step they need to take. Whether it's an apology to you and the one they've judged, whether it's repentance over the log in their eye and a cry for help, whether it's reaching out to someone who can help them with that log. Minister to your church, minister to your people, and we pray this in the mercy of the Father, the grace of the Son, and the power of the Holy Spirit. We give ourselves to you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.